Capitalism is known as the anarchy of capitalist production. It's based on individual corporations, individual capitalists, drive for self-improvement and cross your fingers and maybe it all works out. And crossing your fingers didn't work too well this time.
Dr. Patty Quick is the chair of Economics History and Political Science Department at St. Francis College. With the ongoing repudiation of the free market ideology, she hinted at why socialist analysis may provide a coherent alternative. Real assets, produced by the hands of workers, she says, gave way to abstract financial assets and derivatives, which became the market. The problem was that
the major banking institutions did not know what was in these derivatives. They were so convoluted that it was impossible to figure out what was in them. They called them toxic assets. Now, the banks have these crazy pieces of paper.
When the housing bubble finally burst, financial institutions and banks started to default, everyone stopped lending and a credit freeze ensued, which is now threatening the entire economy.
The way corporations, the way business works, is that they have what's called revolving debt. They borrow and pay out for payroll for 4 weeks, and they pay it back, and then they borrow again. But the bank says this time, oops, sorry. The whole financial system froze. And what that meant was that real businesses had to stop real production.
And the obvious remedy to the laissez-faire of the past 28 years is that
socialism is working class control over production and control over government.
Mark Engler is an analyst with Foreign Policy in Focus, a writer and author of How to Rule the World, The Coming Battle Over the Economy. He gave the rationale for socialist politics.
The technocrats have been claiming larger and larger portions of our public decision-making as their own specialized domain. Decisions about public spending, what kind of jobs we should have, what sort of relation our country is going to have to other countries in the world. All of these are being claimed as specialized economic decisions. And I think that we need to reclaim that.
And while in the U.S. the economy is now on everyone's mind,
the rest of the world has been experiencing what I call the crisis of market fundamentalism for at least 10 years now. In 1997, we had the Asian financial crisis. Many of the same factors were at work here. There was a process of deregulation, opening up the markets. Capital could rush in. It could speculate on real estate prices, gamble on whatever it wanted. And then at the push of a button, the moment they got spooked, they could pull out. In December of 2001, we had the collapse of Argentina's economy.
By now, most countries have disengaged from corporate globalization. The Bush administration's policies have more to do with imperial globalization. There will be a battle for the economic soul of Barack Obama, Mark Engler says. On one side, people like Robert Rubin, the architect of Bill Clinton's neoliberal policies, and on the other, a new grassroots base.
That base is demanding a new type of trade and development policy. It's rejected these so-called free trade agreements. It's demanding a new type of economic policy.
For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.